When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
I know you're paying attention to global events as well as what's going on in our nation. War and increased conflict is bubbling up in more places. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals. Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show, Monday edition. We appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Awesome weekend here. Went up to WrestleMania with the three Travis boys and my wife. Absolutely phenomenal time. Buck, I know, had a fantastic weekend as well. We are going to hit the ground running. We have got a ton to discuss with all of you as we sit less than 7 months now until Election Day. We're going to go up to Pennsylvania with our friend Sean Parnell, get the absolute latest there. He is a part of the Clay and Buck Podcast Network. At 2:30, Dan Zakshesky, who asked, I can't believe this is real in many ways, but Dawn Staley, is the women's national championship coach of South Carolina. She said that she believes men who are pretending to be women should be able to play women's college basketball. We're going to talk about that. It is absolutely bonkers. I cannot believe the crazy world that we live in where that is an absolute argument that anyone would make who actually is involved in the world of sports or women's athletics for that degree. We'll talk about all that and more. But off the top, we told you that this was coming and we had a discussion about it. I think it was last week. Maybe it was the week before. Trump has been teasing and letting people know that he was going to release his official position on abortion. Now, I'm going to play the cuts from Trump that came out this morning. I think what's important about this, and I think Buck would agree, Biden's in trouble, which is why today he's going to try to reemphasize his student loan forgiveness. That is, he's going to attempt that even though the Supreme Court has said he can't do it through executive authority. He's desperate. He's behind on the border. He's behind on crime. He's behind on inflation and the economy. Everything basically is a disaster for him. He's got two issues, abortion and what he believes is the sanctity of American democracy. So the democracy thing, I think, is increasingly flailing and not working, because when you try to put your chief political opponent in prison for the rest of his life, and take away his freedom, it's hard to argue that democracy is really at stake. I think that's cut back against him. So he's down to abortion. The Democrat Party is basically driven by single women who overwhelmingly vote for Democrats. Men overwhelmingly now vote for Republicans. Married women more likely to vote for Republicans as well. Democrats have become the party of single women, and single women are very focused on abortion. In the aftermath of the overturning of Roe v. Wade, people have been asking, what is Trump's position going to be in 2024? He now has released it. Let's go ahead and play that, and then we will react. Here's Trump telling you what he believes should happen with abortion.
Under my leadership, the Republican Party will always support the creation of strong, thriving, and healthy American families. We want to make it easier for mothers and families to have babies, not harder. That includes supporting the availability of fertility treatments like IVF in every state in America. Like the overwhelming majority of Americans, including the vast majority of Republicans, conservatives, Christians, and pro-life Americans, I strongly support the availability of IVF for couples who are trying to have a precious baby. What could be more beautiful or better than that? Today, I'm pleased that the Alabama legislature has acted very quickly and passed legislation that preserves the availability of IVF in Alabama. They really did a great and fast job. The Republican Party should always be on the side of the miracle of life and the side of mothers, father, their beautiful babies, and that's what we are. IVF is an important part of that, and our great Republican Party will always be with you in your quest for the ultimate joy in life.
So okay, there's that's part one. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that's on the IVF side of this. And, there's the politics and the ethics of both of these. He's going to talk about abortion in a second. Or Trump will, I mean, we'll play that for you. But on the IVF point, Alabama has already acted on this. People trying to have babies, and trying to bring more life into this world is a overwhelmingly popular thing. Politically, the idea of making it harder for people to have babies is a huge, I mean, that is a huge loser. You're even going to lose a lot of the pro-life contingent if you say that you don't want to, you know, and also some of the people I think I see online who take a very firm line on the IVF issue. I just, okay, I mean, then they should be the one who get to tell people that survive cancer, you never get to have kids.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I know.
You don't get to have children. Cancer survivor, you don't get to have children. If someone's willing to say that, that I'm more open to their, I don't like, no, I'm not saying there aren't, you know, perhaps procedures and ways that it could be more ethically done or there, but the notion of like, you shouldn't be able to use modern science to try to allow people to have babies. We need, Elon is right on this, by the way.
I've been hammering this too, Buck. We need more babies in this country. We need more babies in this world.
Carrie and I, we are trying, you know, we are being patient. We are trying. We want to have children. We want to have a few children if we can. And, we need more babies. I mean, so this is the, we need more babies as Americans. We need more babies as a species. Life. We want more life. People, and we want to encourage people to have babies. We want to encourage people to have, you know, the biggest family they think they can possibly have. If that's what they want, but you know, for people that want that. And so look, this is just, because they were running with this, and it got a little, remember, it got a little scary for a moment there politically, where they were saying, "Oh, Republicans are opposed to I mean, opposed to IVF is like defund the police level." You know,
I agree.
For the right wing Christians in the conservative sort of talk space, if that's going to be your position, we're going to lose every election for the rest of my life. Right? I mean, if that's how, if you're opposed
being
to any fertility treatments.
Babies being born by people who desperately want to have babies is the dumb, I think your analogy is a good one. It's defund the police level dumb.
Yes. Whatever you think, you're just going to lose. And then the communists who want to murder babies up until 9 months and want to encourage, you know, women to have 8 abortions before they even get married, if they get married, you know, then they'll be in charge of everything and they'll set all the laws. So that's a horrible idea. Okay. Now let's get to Trump on the abortion issue specifically. This was the other soundbite we had for everyone. Play it.
My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart or, in many cases, your religion or your faith. Do what's right for your family and do what's right for yourself. Do what's right for your children. Do what's right for our country and vote. So important to vote. Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country.
Now, this is what I said on the show. Yeah. I thought he should do, because even if I understand that there are people who are advocating, I think, Clay, this was your position, if you take off the table anything beyond whatever it is, 16 weeks or something, that's better than what you have in most states right now if you go federal, right? If he has to go with something federal, then at least you're limiting, you know, it's not letting the perfect be the enemy of the good. But I've thought, and this is what Trump has taken here as the position, the whole pro, so I mean, I've been, you know, working in some capacity or pushing for the pro-life movement for 20 some odd years now of my life. And the whole pro-life movement, the big thing was, well, Roe is a total travesty. It's a moral travesty and a legal travesty. So we have to get rid of Roe, Roe v. Wade. That happened because of Trump judges. And it happened because the basis of the overturning, right, was just, this isn't a federal issue. There's no basis in the Constitution for a right to abortion. So to make it a federal issue right after that, I think, is legally and politically problematic. And I also think it's a loser, right? I think that if you do that, you're going to, because you can't have a Republican president running and saying, well, you know, abortion for the first 3 months, let's get that codified. I'm fine with that. Whereas now Trump can at least say it's a state's issue. I think this largely takes it off the table for Biden, not entirely, but it certainly takes a lot of the heat out of the ads they're going to run in swing states.
Well, this is really what I think you're right. I think you're right about politically. This is a strong, I'm focused on the politics of it. This is a strong position because it is going to be basically the democratic process should decide. And this is a state level issue. And if you want to live in a state with less abortion rights, like many of the red states are, then you can make a choice to live there. And if you want to go to a blue state where, frankly, you now have more expansive abortion rights than you did before Roe v. Wade, then you have that right as well. And I think this is going to be a hard position to attack Trump on. I also think Trump was already hard to attack on this issue. If you'll remember, Buck, and you remember it certainly very well, the reason he took Mike Pence was because people didn't believe that he was committed enough to the pro-life movement. Then he delivers Roe v. Wade's overturning, which is the biggest pro-life win in the last 50 years. I mean, for any president.
The biggest win of the pro, since Roe v. Wade, it's the biggest win that the pro-life movement has had.
So Trump can say, I delivered for you, and now this is a state-level issue. The reality is, there aren't the votes to make this a federal issue right now. It would take, I think this is one where Nikki Haley was right, 60 Republicans in the Senate in order to try to put in place a position, not to mention having the House. That's not a reality at this point.
And I think that, the movement, the pro-life movement in states that are redder, they're in a place, look, the left used incrementalism on this for a very long time, and they've always used the extremes to try to sort of beat people in the opposition down. It's always, you know, they always say rape, incest, life of the mother. And then you say, okay, but you know, then you have women showing up at rallies with, I've had 15 abortions. Aren't I, you know, amazing? Like that's not rape, incest, life of the mother.
Yeah.
We're actually, so there's always been this, hiding of the true intent and hiding of what the pro-choice movement stands for, which has been a massive amount of unnecessary and just heartbreaking death over a series of decades. And so I think that you can have now, people can see that living in a state where, you know, let's say, you know, if it's a state that, for example, has just the exceptions that Trump lays out, it's okay. Like, it's not going to be the end of the world if more people are having babies. It actually is a good thing in that state. And in states where they're going to keep pushing abortion, you know, I think that we'll see over time how perceptions of these things start to change a bit. And the extremism of a state, I brought up Colorado, because even before Roe was overturned, you know, Colorado passed this law, and it's very explicit, actually. Abortion, anytime, any reason, any period of the pregnancy. That's it.
Yeah.
No restrictions of any kind whatsoever. Very explicit in law. And there are other states, I mean, New York and California basically have, you know, similar approach to it.
So, yeah, I think, sorry to cut you off, but I think what Trump hit on here was, and we didn't play, I don't think, the full cut of this, but he really went after third trimester abortions. And the data reflects that over 80% of Americans oppose third trimester abortions. Over 80%. That is now Democrat orthodoxy, which is why we talked about Bill Clinton. It used to be safe, legal, and rare. That was the position. You support abortion rights, but it's safe, legal, and rare. Now it is, if you want to have an abortion up to basically birth, and sometimes after, you can do it. That is a radical proposition, and I think Trump can make that case, and people will understand it more coming from him than they would others. So I think this was a smart strategic statement that he made today. Obviously, some of you may disagree. You're welcome to call in 800-282-2882. But I think if you look at the board and what Biden arguments he can make, this really restricts the arguments that he's able to make to the extent that he can make any.
It also leaves him, it leaves him some latitude too.
Yeah.
Which is one of the other things about this position that he's taken, which again, I advocated a week ago that this is what Trump should say. So obviously I think he's done the right thing under the circumstances. He's a politician. He's not the Pope, right? I mean, he's having to maneuver. And I think under the circumstances he's made the right move. I wish he hadn't used the term abortion rights, but look, again, if you're 95% there on something or 95% correct, I don't want to get too down in the weeds and pick at small things. But this is very important because for anybody who wants to have a culture of life, this leaves it so that it can be state by state, generation by generation, convincing more and more people to have more and more babies. You know, Clay, that's also what the preborn network of clinics does. They save the lives of over 58,000 unborn babies last year because of your donations. Your contributions to preborn this past year made all of that possible. They welcome pregnant mothers making a difficult decision with their clinics, and they encourage them to choose life over abortion for their unborn child. And they're so successful in this because once mom meets that unborn child through a free ultrasound provided by the preborn clinics, once mom hears that heartbeat, sees the tiny baby, little tiny arms and head moving inside of her, that so often makes the difference. One of these women is Jabra, a young lady who found herself in an unplanned pregnancy and was strongly influenced to end that pregnancy. She visited a Planned Parenthood clinic where they administered the abortion pill to her. She went home and started searching for how to reverse the effects, which led her to a preborn network clinic. The nurse immediately administered progesterone and calmed her greatest fear, and her baby was saved. Every day, preborn celebrates 200 miracles just like this. $28 is the cost of a single ultrasound. Donate each month if you can. Dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, say baby, or visit preborn.com/buck. That's preborn.com/BUCK, sponsored by Preborn.
Stay on top of election news with 24 from Clay and Buck, a weekly podcast you can find on the free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The number one fantasy sports app in America is Prize Picks. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. 5 million members already active on Prize Picks. If you've not yet downloaded Prize Picks, do it today. Unlike other apps, on Prize Picks, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, more or less. Every time you play, you pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action on Prize Picks now than ever, and it's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states now. Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app and open your account. Use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the Prize Picks app. Use promo code CLAY, that's C-L-A-Y, to get set up and get a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-GOLD.
Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose.
GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community.
Change the world for good by putting others before yourself to glorify God. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your unique academic, personal, and professional goals.
With over 330 academic programs as of September 2023, GCU meets you where you are and provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Let it flourish. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University, private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
All right, second hour, Clay and Buck kicks off. Got a lot to get to, my friends. Thank you so much for being here with us. 800-282-2882 on those phone lines. Just letting you know, next hour, our friend and part of the Clay and Buck Podcast Network, Sean Parnell, combat veteran from Afghanistan, best-selling author. He's a Pittsburgh area guy too. He's going to talk to us about some of the trends in Pennsylvania, particularly the Pittsburgh area, about how it's looking for 2024. Pennsylvania is absolutely critical as a battleground. I think Trump can win it. I think he will win it, but GOP's got to approach this the right way. Talking about border and immigration stuff here in just a second, but first off, I got to say, the doubling down, tripling down, quadrupling down, that I'm going to have to make here as we get closer and closer to the Democrat National Convention on who will be the nominee. Just letting everybody know, I'm not budging off my little island. My island of Biden will be the nominee, assuming he is, alive and continues to be able to do what he does. Biden will be the nominee. Joe Rogan. We all know Joe Rogan, very big podcaster, very successful guy. He is part of the They're Going to Pull Biden caucus out there. This is what he said, play 10.
I think he's got until May.
No way.
I feel like right around May, they're going to pull him.
No
way. Yeah.
And Newsom comes in.
I think he just has health problems. And then the country understands. And Newsom is going to have his support fully. And Kamala is going to, like, I don't want to be president. I'm cool with being vice president.
So Newsom runs with Kamala?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I don't think they can pull Kamala. I think as long as they keep her quiet.
Okay, I don't know who the other guy is there, but he's an astute political observer, whoever that other voice was on that show. I think he's a comedian, right? He's a smart fellow because, Clay, it's just getting crazier and crazier now. Gavin Newsom? Gavin Newsom is going to be the choice here? I mean, it's one thing to say Michelle Obama, this big plan, and it's all... Gavin Newsom would get annihilated by Trump in the general election. It would be worse than whatever they could have with Joe Biden as the incumbent.
I don't even think it's just that he would get annihilated. I think it's that the idea that Rogan's saying, oh, Kamala doesn't want to be president. Kamala is not going to go be vice president for Joe Biden for 4 years and then be vice president for another guy for 8 years. Like, that's not happening under the sun.
No way.
I mean, look, Kamala is... Did we roll over Kamala talking about the NCAA? We still need to play that. If you guys can make sure, I don't know if we rolled it over, but Kamala trying to give everybody a lecture on the NCAA women's bracket and its history. She's a moron, okay? She is evidence. Kamala Harris is what happens when DEI runs amok in your organization. A person who otherwise would have no ability to rise has risen because they like what she looks like. California looks around. They say, we want a half Indian, half black woman to be in a position of power in California, not because she's able to do the job, but because a bunch of rich white people, that's what they would like to think that their worldview creates.
But just think about it. I think you hit on a critical part of this. there's this assumption in all these predictions. And look, I don't know Joe. Have you ever met Rogan? I haven't met him. I don't think so.
I may have met him at some sporting event at some point in time, but yeah. I don't have a close relationship with him.
Seems like a very good guy, very, very successful guy, obviously. So I'm just having some fun here, but the notion that Kamala would just be like, yeah, we're just gonna airdrop Gavin Newsom in.
Yeah.
And he just, cause I've heard this from other people too. As much as the Michelle Obama thing is not going to happen, in my opinion, probably not going to happen, as much, that at least to me is you're pulling in like the one
you
person, the wild card that
a more, but the only way this works, Kamala is next man or next woman up. The only way that she gets bumped out is if you can find a more popular black woman than her. And Michelle Obama is that.
Cause also Kamala Harris could endorse that without demeaning her own brand and her own future. Again, I still think this isn't going to happen, but I just think it's funny that there's this assumption like, oh yeah, like Gavin, first of all, Gavin Newsom. He got smacked around in that debate that
badly
that Sean hosted with DeSantis. It wasn't even close. But I just think it's so funny. Imagine you're Kamala Harris for a second, that's a whole thought experiment. But imagine you're Kamala Harris. They're like, yeah, we know you're the vice president, but there's this guy in California where you're from, and we just sort of think that, you know, he's a really snappy dresser and he's slick. And so without ever having to win a primary, we're just going to make him the candidate.
Yeah.
It is insane, everybody. Yeah. I'm just saying, there is no chance. If any of your friends wanted to have a steak bet, a barbecue bet, whatever, on this happening, you know, but take it to the bank. Like put them, put all your chips on this one. There's no chance Gavin Newsom gets just selected to take over for Joe Biden. Okay. That's insane.
The ultimate, to be fair, in Democrat identity politics, racism and sexism, for the black woman who has been, they would argue, a steadfast supporter of the old white guy to get replaced by a younger white guy, even though she's the next woman up for the job.
And I think people also underestimate, yes, Kamala Harris is horrible in a lot of ways as a politician, but they underestimate with the entire media apparatus behind her, they'd probably start to say that when she was a DA, she was, you know, pretty tough on crime and she's pro police and whatever would poll well, they would all start saying about Kamala and they would construct a whole narrative for her. I still think she loses Trump. I'm not saying that, but it's closer. Gavin Newsom. I mean, that's like, this is no chance, Gavin Newsom. And also, how would the black female Democrat voter
that's why
feel
they can't do it.
About yeah. Gavin Newsom just gets like handed? Look, we would be saying that's some like bizarre, it's not nepotism, I don't know what you call it, but it's like some bizarre, well, it's kind of racist actually, it's just what it is.
Kind of racist and sexist. I mean, even if you don't buy into all of the racist and sexism arguments of the Democrat Party, it would be tough for them to pull off. And I mean, just looking at it objectively.
We don't throw racism around here. It'd be kind of racist to just be like Gavin Newsom, but why is Gavin Newsom better than Kamala Harris as a candidate? She's at least been VP. She's been on the Biden ticket. Makes no sense.
And they've both been elected statewide in California multiple times. So it's not as if, again, I think Kamala Harris is a disaster vice president. I would welcome Kamala Harris running instead of Joe Biden because I think it would make the Democrat ticket weaker. And I think that's why they're not elevating her because all the polling reflects she would do worse. But there's no way to get somebody else in unless you have the Obama. This is why I've made the Michelle Obama argument. The Michelle Obama stamp. Michelle Obama is very popular. Barack Obama is still very popular in this country. She would turn out black women better. And look, this is the argument I've also made. Kamala Harris is not like most black women. She's married to a rich white lawyer in L.A. She has no kids. She's half of her own. She is half Indian and half black. She doesn't connect. Michelle Obama connects with black women. I think black women look at her and say, yeah, that's kind of what my life is like. Much of connecting in politics is finding your niche and then making people think, hey, that's somebody like me. I can support them. I think one of the real challenges for Obama, for Kamala is she doesn't connect like Obama did, either Barack or Michelle.
Well, you know, there are moments, Clay, where Kamala shows us how earnest she can be and how much she can connect. Like in this moment where this is cut 19, she's just explaining that, you know, women didn't even have brackets for the NCAA until this year. Play it.
Do you know, okay, a bit of a history lesson. Do you know that women were not, the women's teams were not allowed to have brackets until 2022? Think about that. And what that talk about progress, you know, better late than never, but progress. And what that has done, because of course when, you know, I had a bracket, it's not broken completely, but I won't talk about my bracket. But you know what, just how we love March Madness, and even just now allowing the women to have brackets and what that does to encourage people to talk more about the women's teams, to watch them. Now they're being covered, you know, and this is the reality. People used to say, oh, women's sports, who's interested? Well, if you can't see it, you won't be.
Clay, I didn't know there was a federal bracket ban for women's sports. This is new to me.
This is so dumb that even for my standards of Kamala is dumb. She said that there weren't NCAA tournament brackets for women until 2022. The NCAA Women's Tournament, Bucks, started in 1982. But, so they've had it for 40 some odd years. But just answer yourself this question. How did Kamala think they picked the women's teams to play against each other? Every tournament, and on every level, has a bracket. Otherwise, you just are randomly assigning teams to play against each other. How, like, I don't know who briefed her. But if you just had a scintilla of interest in asking the most basic questions, you would say, wait a minute, 2022? They didn't have women's NCAA tournament brackets until we were already in office? Like, it's so dumb.
Well, it also, though, it's a little bit of the, you know, the politician who says that they root for whatever team of the place. Now, if you do that with tongue in cheek, I think it can be fine, right? When you're like, yeah. Here I am in Cincinnati and I love the whatever Cincinnati teams are. I don't even know. But, you know, she could have done it in a way that is more earnest. She's like, oh, I'm really excited about NCAA women this year and I'm filling out my first bracket or something. But her reflexive position is find something about like victimization and yes. The patriarchy and depression. And that's always the go-to. It's always take whatever the issue is and turn it into something like that. And in this case, it just showed you one, that's reflexive for her, and two, how just inauthenticity. I think inauthenticity for politicians is increasingly a difficult thing to sell.
Also, how about if you don't know something really well, don't give a history lesson on it, right? The fact that her innate expectation there is, and also the reporter, of course, doesn't push back at all, but
I would not come on this show and start talking about the history of NCAA men's basketball and be like, hey, everybody, let me tell you some really important things about it. Cause I have never watched March Madness until now. So there
you
go.
Or me, like you were talking about SpaceX and Elon Musk off air with me. I would never come on and say, hey, let me give you a history lesson on rocket propulsion in the world. Because I don't know anything about rocket propulsion and I'm not going to pretend that I do. So this, and people understand this. I say all the time, I'm not an expert. It's important to acknowledge when you are not incredibly knowledgeable about something. You can't be knowledgeable on everything.
I think that Kamala Harris, and I've met many people like this in my life who, don't know something about anything. And so they think they know, everything about anything, you know, they basically have no area of true expertise. So they don't know what that requires. And then they assume that they can become an expert in anything very quickly or pretend to be, you know, that's not a good way to go through life if you can avoid it.
And I love just that reporter there who, I mean, maybe in his defense, you ever have, and some of you are going to say, yes, I hear it every single day on the show. My wife might say that about me. You ever have somebody say something so stupid and so wrong that you're afraid to correct them because it's so wrong? The only thing I can say about that reporter is that he's probably nervous interviewing the vice president. And when she says something that's that wrong for a minute, like he doesn't trust his own instincts.
But also Kamala Harris, because of how she has been elevated for, for certain characteristics, and DEI has been a very prominent role in her political life. And the way that she's presented by the Democrat Party, I think she's gone for a very long time where people know that if you correct her, even on an issue of fact, that is not allowed. That you would be, you know, that this reporter would be, I don't know if it's a man or a woman who's asking, but this reporter, if it's a man,
it's a dude.
It's a dude. Okay.
Mansplaining. You're mansplaining.
You're mansplaining. Don't interrupt her to correct her on an issue of fact or to help, you know, set the record straight. You're not allowed to do that to Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris has been surrounded with people who are scared to correct the dumb things that she says for a very long time.
I think there's a lot of truth to that. And I just thought playing it for all of you, even for Kamala's dumb standards, trying to argue that the women's bracket didn't exist until 2022.
I wouldn't say that's, I mean, to be fair, I don't think it's that she's dumb, Clay. I think she's a phony. It's an issue of phoniness, right? It's not like, it's not an IQ test whether or not you know, but I mean, like, I hope not, because I don't know anything about women's NCAA basketball.
But if you consistently sound like an imbecile when you're being interviewed, like, she's being briefed. It's not like she didn't know what she was going to be quizzed about. Like, I do think that Kamala is probably the dumbest vice president that we have ever had in modern era. Like, Dan Quayle got roasted. In modern history.
Well, that was just the Democrat dominance in media creating a false. They also tried to say that Reagan was dumb, and you can listen to a Reagan speech today or even off the cuff and you're like, this guy was the most brilliant communicator of his generation, but he's dumb. I mean, it's just, they'll say anything.
So Dan Quayle would be the response that most people would have. I think he was unfairly attacked for being dumb, but.
Wasn't that the potato spelling thing too?
Yes.
They said that? Okay, anyone can make a spelling mistake. We don't see spelling mistakes as much these days because everyone writes everything with word processors that have AI built into them.
But the answer might be Joe Biden might be dumber than Kamala, to be fair. I mean, Joe Biden did not have an illustrious record of academic achievement prior.
So I think Joe Biden is the dumbest Democrat to have achieved high office, really high office.
Bill Clinton and Barack Obama are super smart.
Neither of them are even a little bit dumb. That is correct. Yeah.
And Joe Biden is dumb. Is dumb, I think. Kamala Harris is dumb, I think. I think this is a uniquely dumb, leadership team, unfortunately. But for all of you, March Madness, the brackets, miraculously, somehow Purdue and UConn are playing tonight. Kamala Harris has no idea how they ended up in the game. They have won their way to the championship game, and I've got a pick for you on Prize Picks. Up to $100 matched. All you have to do is go to prizepicks.com/clay, and I have got what I hope is going to be a 10-to-1 payout winner for all of you watching this game tonight. By the way, take your naps. It doesn't tip off, I don't think, till 9:20 Eastern, which is crazy late, for a sporting event if you're on the East Coast. Zach Edey, less than 38.5 points, rebounds, and assists. Donovan Klingon, more than 13.5 points. Those are the two centers, respectively, Purdue and UConn. Braden Smith, he's not been playing well, less than 22 points, rebounds, and assists. And Cam Spencer, more than 23 points, rebounds, and assists. There you have it. If we hit on this one, three of our four hit on the last picks, which was, I think, Friday. So you won some money there. We're going to try to hit four to get a 10-to-1 payout. Prizepicks.com/Clay. Buck, are you ready for the NCAA tournament championship?
I need to get in on this one. Carrie was looking at what it would cost to replace our banister over the weekend. Good heavens, man. I need this 10-to-1 payout.
That is the most married man sentence you may have ever said in your life.
Yep. Yeah. Banisters are expensive. I had no idea.
No single man has ever worried about what a banister cost in his entire life. Buck, in order to pay that off, 10-to-1, prizepicks.com, Clay. Use that code, prizepicks.com, Clay. A lot of you are single, like, I don't even know what a banister is. Less for Zach Edey, more for Klingon, less for Braden Smith, more for Cam Spencer. There you have it. Prizepicks.com/Clay.
The Truth Compass, pointing due right every day. The Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show.
Welcome in, hour number three, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. The eclipse is underway all over Texas, making its way towards my home state of Tennessee. I'm told that we have peak eclipse at 3:04 Eastern here, 2:04, I think, Central Time. Just FYI, big time moment for the nation. We're going to talk about the situation in Pennsylvania here in a moment. We're also going to talk about the crazy answer given by Dawn Staley at South Carolina. In fact, let me just go ahead and bring in, because I bet Sean Parnell, I saw him share this. I bet he's pretty fired up about it, too. Sean, you've got a bunch of kids, and we're going to talk about the situation on the ground in Pennsylvania and what needs to happen in order for Pennsylvania to go back red in 2024. But when you hear Dawn Staley say she's fine with men identifying as women playing women's basketball. Do you find this as crazy as I do, that it's almost impossible to believe that, you know, we made a movie called Juana Man, like the whole era of mocking this, South Park has obviously been on the front edge of this, and now it's basically Democrat Party orthodoxy that if you're a dude pretending to be a woman, you should be able to be in women's sports?
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of blown away by it. And I say this as somebody who has three daughters who work their butt off every single day, committing themselves to a sport or whatever it is really that they want to do. And when you let men play women's sports, I mean, it's just, I guess I would just say, Clay, the party of science doesn't really care about science, because yeah, it's basic science that men are bigger, stronger, faster than women. And ultimately, it's a safety issue. It's a safety issue, especially with how physical sports can be. God, you just don't want to see anything happen to a young girl that dedicated her life having her dreams stolen by a man and then get hurt in the process as well. It's just terrible all around.
Hey, Sean, I'm sure you saw the Wall Street Journal piece. Now they're voting red. A Pennsylvania fracking boom weighs in on Biden's reelection chances. It gets into some of the data. Look, the biggest swing state by population is Pennsylvania. So it's critical for 2024. I can't foresee a future in which Trump wins Pennsylvania and does not win the election, right? I mean, I feel like if he wins Pennsylvania, chances are he's going to win everywhere else he needs to. But this piece goes into how the Democrats' anti-fracking position has changed some of the dynamics, such that now, especially out in the Pittsburgh area, the Democrats are the party of like software designers who live in the city, and the Republicans are the guys who are working in the natural gas industry and guys that are doing more sort of trade and, you know, outside jobs. What are you seeing?
Yeah, it's such a great point. I think your assessment is spot on. I mean, there is a tectonic shift, paradigm shift happening politically in Pennsylvania. And I say this as somebody who comes from, you know, a family of blue dog union Democrats, pro-life, pro-gun Democrats, who in many cases now are more pro-Trump than some of my Republican family members. And here's the deal, Buck. Like, you can drive anywhere from my house in western Pennsylvania, 45 minutes in any direction, and you will drive through two or three towns that are completely derelict, old school coal or oil manufacturing towns that have buttoned themselves up. And the truth is that Republicans and Democrats both betrayed the people who lived in those towns for a very, very, very long time. And so Trump comes along, and all of a sudden, all of these people have a voice again. And ultimately, I think that this paradigm shift has brought forth this incredible opportunity for Republicans, where now we're the party of the working class. Now we're the party of the middle class, right? And you have the Democrats who have now strangely become, in my lifetime, the party of, you know, big tech oligarchs, Hollywood celebrities, ivory tower academics. And in Western Pennsylvania, I mean, this is a heavily, you know, it's a heavily Republican area. It's a place where Republicans can do very, very, very well. But there are a lot of blue dog Democrats here, again, pro-life, pro-gun Democrats, who are going to vote for Trump. And I just think there's an unbelievable opportunity for Republicans in Pennsylvania, especially with Trump at the top of the ticket. I mean, Pennsylvania is more than in play this time around. There's no question about it.
That could play out. Sean Parnell with us now, not only in the national race, which I'm going to talk about here in a sec, but also with Dave McCormick trying to win back a Senate seat. I'm curious how you would assess that Senate race, and also what in the world's happened with John Fetterman, who has really, I mean, it's like he went in for treatment at Walter Reed and came out in many respects sounding like a Republican. Like, what has happened there? Did people misattribute his political leanings? I mean, he regularly says he's not woke. He's not a progressive. He's very pro-Israel. He's come out in favor of fracking to a certain degree. Also, I believe now, believes the border should be shut down. What is going on there? How would you assess the Senate in general, the race, but also Fetterman?
Well, first of all, we'll talk Dave McCormick first. Like, I think he's the only person, you know, that Bob Casey has run against that can and I think likely will beat Bob Casey. I mean, Dave McCormick is a fundraising machine, and whether or not you like money in politics or not, the guy, you need money to run effective races. I always liken money in political races to bullets in your gun and combat, right? Politics is just like war, just without the bullets. And so you run out of bullets on the battleground, like, you're done. You run out of fundraising dollars when you're running a race, you're done. But Dave McCormick has an ability to raise historic sums of money. And if you look at Pennsylvania as it is today, just by the numbers, just by voter registration numbers, Trump won Pennsylvania in 16. And by the way, he was the first Republican to do it, running for president since Ronald Reagan. He won by a razor-thin margin with a voter registration, Republican voter registration deficit to Democrats of 600,000 plus. Now the Democrats only have a 380 plus thousand voter registration advantage. So it's nearly cut in half. So the state is more favorable than it's ever been. And it's going to continue to trend red every day that goes on. As far as Fetterman is concerned, I have a theory about this. And it's basically for a long time in Pennsylvania, there has been one Republican and one Democrat at the top of the ticket for Senate. The state has always had a sense of moderation there. There's a phrase that Pennsylvania will tolerate neither too much virtue or too much vice. And so from a political standpoint, the people here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania have always had kind of like an even keel temperament in the Senate. Well, this is the first time two Democrats have been at the top of the ticket in the Senate in Pennsylvania in over 100 years. And so I see Fetterman's moderation, right, as it pertains to Israel, fracking, and everything else as a political strategy to draw fire away from Bob Casey and give Pennsylvanians the state of the sort of political homeostasis that they've always had at the top of the ticket. And what you see is people writing all these stories about Fetterman, like, whoa, what happened to this guy? Look at him. He's so conservative now. But nobody's really writing about Bob Casey. And, I mean, and I look at it like this, Clay. You know, John Fetterman waves around an Israeli flag. But the fact is, look at how he votes in the Senate. He voted against a standalone aid package for Israel in the Senate. So if you were really so pro-Israel, you would certainly vote for that. I've known John Fetterman a long time, since he was mayor of Braddock. He has been a free Palestine guy for as long as I've known him. So it goes back to an old adage that I have, like, don't listen to what Democrats say. Watch how they vote.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, actually, Sean. Thank you for putting that into context for us. By the way, if you want to hear more of Sean Parnell, he has the Sean Parnell Show podcast on the Clay and Buck Network. Another reason for our wonderful radio listeners to subscribe on the iHeartRadio app to the Clay and Buck Network, and Sean's show will be there along with Tudor Dixon, Carol Markowitz. Sean, how does Trump win? You know the Pennsylvania terrain politically as well as anybody. How does Trump win in 2024?
Well, his path is going to be, first of all, again, a state's more favorable than it's ever been. But Trump has this ability, and this is perhaps more prominent in Pennsylvania than almost anywhere else, maybe Michigan as well. But Trump has this ability to bring out this crazy cross-section of voters from everywhere, even first-time people that have really never voted before. A perfect example of this is Erie County. It's a swing county here in Pennsylvania in the Northwest, but it's a Democrat county, essentially. There are more registered Democrats than Republicans. Trump won it in 2016. With Trump off the ballot in the off-cycle race in 18, the congressman who represents Erie County lost it by almost 20,000 votes. In 2020, Trump lost Erie County again by probably 1,500 votes. So you get a sense of the turnout machine that he is. And so when you add his ability to turn out voters, plus somebody like Dave McCormick on a ticket, you kind of have a Trump-Toomey vibe going there. And by the way, those guys couldn't be more different. I mean, Toomey voted to convict Trump in the Senate, as we all remember. But you have this kind of unbelievable synergy where Dave McCormick is going to play very, very, very well in the suburbs. And then you've got Trump, who's bringing out all these first-time voters and blue-collar Democrats. Dave McCormick is going to benefit from that. And my hope is that Trump benefits from some of the suburban vote with McCormick as well. Add to that that it's going to be what seems to me a great Republican year with a terribly weak Democrat candidate, both president and vice president. Somehow Kamala Harris is less popular than Joe Biden. But look, there's a ton of opportunity in Pennsylvania with a lot of synergy on the ticket. And then you add to that a mail-in program that Republicans have never had before in Pennsylvania that is at this point very, very, very effective. I like our chances.
That's where I wanted to hit for the last question for you. The number one thing we hear when we talk about Pennsylvania is they're going to steal it, because I think a lot of people saw the way the votes kept rolling in, the changes that were made in 2020, the fact that Fetterman won and had half
happened
of his
to
vote
Sean,
bank.
By the way. Sean was ahead going to bed, and then all of a sudden all the extra ballots came in. Sean, what was the gap?
Oh, there was a 13,000, but I mean, any way you cut it, that's why every news outlet in the country called the race for me, including MSNBC. Any way you cut it, mathematically, there was going to be a 13,000 vote margin of victory. The race took over a week, and the main issue was, even though, like I said, it took over a week to actually finish the counting, was that you had a bunch of ballots that were not signed with no identification for first-time mail-in voters and unsupervised drop boxes. So that sort of whittled away people's confidence in how we conduct elections here. So things have gotten a little bit better in Pennsylvania. But the truth is, Republicans, especially in this state over the last three cycles, have not done a good job at building an election infrastructure here in this state that is required to win. Democrats, by contrast, have done well. And just to be clear for your audience, people who are listening, I don't like mail-in ballots. I don't like our system here. But the rules of engagement are what they are until we win. You can't fix things until we win. And so that has to be the first priority. And what comes part and parcel with that is building a system that will allow us to do that. And so that operation has to have two phases, right? You have to put a ton of dollars into registering you have to register Republican voters. So you got to close that registration gap. And then focus on all the people that Trump brings out, these low propensity voters that maybe even voted for the first time in their life for Trump in 20 or maybe even in 16. Get them on the permanent mail-in vote so that in off-cycle races you can have that presidential level turnout. This is why Republicans have been getting killed in Pennsylvania in off-cycle or midterm elections. It's because the Democrats basically set the bar really high in 2020. They got all these people on the permanent mail-in voting list. And Republicans are just like, well, I don't like mail-in voting. Well, that ain't going to win elections. And so this time around, we have a program with millions and millions of dollars behind it. This is a sort of quiet behemoth working in the background of Pennsylvania to do just what I told you. And so not only do we have all these great things going, synergy of the ticket, a great year, great environment, weak incumbent president, we also have this program where we're working to register voters and get them on the permanent mail-in list so that we can bolster our chances in November. And like I said, I like our chances.
Sean Parnell, everybody. Check out the Sean Parnell Show, which is in the Clay and Buck Podcast Network. Please subscribe. Sean, great to talk to you, man. Thank you.
Thanks, Clay. Thanks, Buck.
If you're a firearms enthusiast, a sportsman, somebody who believes in the Second Amendment right to bear arms, you gotta learn this name, Bear Creek Arsenal. I mean, they may be the firearm industry's best kept secret, but we're changing that here on this show. Let me tell you, because I appreciate shooting. I appreciate getting out to the range. I'm actually going out to the range this weekend, and I'm going to have my Bear Creek Arsenal rifle with me. I've spent a good amount of time handling guns over the course of my life. It was required earlier in my career with the CIA, and now I try to just keep my skills sharp and just improve over time as both a sportsman and somebody who believes in the right to defend yourself and to carry firearms to that end. Bear Creek Arsenal offers a wide range of premium calibers at a fraction of what the competition is. I mean, how do they do it? There's no middleman fees, and they're all about what you need, which is making firearms of the highest quality and not wasting a lot of money on extras and things you don't need. I have one of their ARs at home. It's phenomenal. And I'm getting one of their handguns soon because it's such high quality. But look, I have one of the most expensive ARs you can actually get anywhere. And my Bear Creek Arsenal can go pound for pound, toe to toe with it, and is a fraction of the price. So So why spend a whole lot of money for something that doesn't give you anything more than what you get with Bear Creek Arsenal? And this is why I want you to check them out. Go to BearCreekArsenal.com/buck. That's BearCreekArsenal.com/buck. They've also got a lot of great gear. I mean, trust me, they'll have a lot of fun just kind of window shopping on the site, if you will. BearCreekArsenal.com/buck. Use promo code buck for 10% off your first order. That's BearCreekArsenal.com/buck. Use promo code buck for 10% off.
They're here to shed light on the truth every day. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Why are people still on the fence about owning gold and silver? I just don't understand.
Have we already forgotten about regional bank closures, inflation, global instability, and the potential for serious world conflicts?
You can look to precious metals for various reasons. One, having tangible currency on hand as part of your bug out plan. Two, diversifying your portfolio as a hedge against inflation. And three, historically, gold increases in value over time.
You keep yourself informed about global events. You see the increase in conflicts around the globe. Countries are buying and hoarding massive amounts of gold. Why aren't you? It's time to pull the trigger with the Oxford Gold Group and buy gold and silver. Nobody can predict the future, but we can't put our head in the sand either.
The people with Oxford Gold Group are real pros. They make owning gold and silver simple and easy to understand. Call Oxford Gold Group right now, and you may qualify for up to $10,000 in free precious metals.
Call 833-995-GOLD. That's 833-995-GOLD. One more time, 833-995-G-O-L-D.
Grand Canyon University, a private Christian university in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, believes that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. GCU believes in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose.
GCU equips you to serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community.
Change the world for good by putting others before yourself to glorify God. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's online, on-campus, and hybrid learning environments are designed to help you achieve your unique academic, personal, and professional goals.
With over 330 academic programs as of September 2023, GCU meets you where you are and provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Let it flourish. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, hey, I'm covered, no worries. Not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance.
And that can be a lot of money for your family, but how do you know you're not being overbilled? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors.
So unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate?
HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance.
When your medical claim comes in, HealthLock technology reviews the claims for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud.
HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe.
You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills.
To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million.
Bottom line, insurance isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it before you see another healthcare provider. HealthLock.com. HealthLock.com.
Welcome back in. Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We are joined now by a guy whose question was viewed 30 million times, roughly, on Twitter alone on Saturday. He is a writer at OutKick. He is Dan Zakrzewski. I believe I have pronounced his last name correctly because I'm the worst at pronunciations on the planet. Dan, first, did you expect for the answer and the question to go as viral as it has? And for those of you who did not hear it, Dawn Staley, University of South Carolina women's basketball coach, said she would be okay with men identifying as women playing women's basketball. It has been much discussed. It has echoed throughout everywhere over the past 48 hours or so. Did you expect it to be as big of a story as it was? And what has the reaction been like from your perspective?
So you never expect to get you know, as you said, 30 million views on a video. However, at the moment she said it, I knew I had a story. There was no question about that. In fact, I ended up looking up later and even beforehand to see if Dawn Staley had ever talked about this issue before, because it seems like something that the media would ask her. I think her answer actually surprised them, and that's why they've never asked her. I believe that the women's basketball media, which, by the way, is mostly just PR at this point, I think they thought, based on her religious views, that she was going to not say that, so they've never asked her. Because as long as they didn't ask her the question and force her to say what went against their ideology, then they wouldn't have to report on it. So I actually think it really shocked them as much as it shocked me to hear her say that.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. And it obviously got a ton of attention over the weekend because I honestly was surprised that she answered it. I would have assumed that she would have taken the easy route, which is to defer and say, you know, I'm not a coach, but I can play this game too, right? Like, I'm just focused on, you know, whether my girls are going to win the big game or something, right? You know, end of story. Why do you think she leaned into it?
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on that a few times. I'm surprised as well. I mean, you know, a lot of people attacking me for asking the question and basically saying that I made this a story when I did not make this a story. Dawn Staley made this a story with her answer. As you said, I asked the Iowa coach 2 hours later. I had a lot of people in my mentions saying that too, like, oh, I guess you didn't ask the white coach about this. Well, just for so everybody knows how this works, Dawn Staley's press conference was, her availability was before Lisa Bluter's, which came 2 hours later, and I had planned to ask both coaches. That's just how it went. Lisa Bluter did, Buck, do what you're talking about. She said, it's an important issue. It's an issue for another time. Right now, I'm just focused on, you know, the national championship. Part of me wonders if I built a little bit of a relationship with Dawn Staley last week, asking her about Easter Sunday. Her South Carolina team won their Elite Eight game against Oregon State on Easter Sunday. And I asked her about whether or not that carried any additional importance for her. Now, as we've talked about, the women's college basketball media, as you can imagine, pretty hard left-leaning group. They aren't big fans of Dawn Staley talking about God, talking about religion. They don't ask her about it, ever. They never ask her about it. In fact, any article that you look up with her talking about is the occasional one you'll see is, you know, she shouldn't be allowed to pray with her players, that she's, you know, somehow attacking their religious freedom and all that. So I think asking her the week before about her religion and writing about it, because to me that was an interesting story. Dawn Staley on Easter Sunday, she talks about God all the time. Why would I not ask her about that?
We're talking to Dan Szeszewski. He did a great job asking a question that actually got an answer and impacted people. So I'm going to ask you to go into Dawn Staley's mindset here a little bit. Obviously, you're not an expert on her thought process. But I found what was so interesting about this is she paused before she answered. I'm sure she's thought about it before. But in the past, she's talked about her team gets better by practicing against basically intramural level basketball players on the University of South Carolina's campus. Those are men who are brought in to scrimmage against her girls. So she's aware of the biological difference here. So this is not a situation where she's just making a political argument and she's not really that cognizant of actually how much difference there is. She played college basketball. She scrimmaged against men her whole life. She knows the difference. Why do you think she answered the way that she did, knowing that she is well aware men are bigger, stronger, faster, better by far basketball players than women?
Yeah, and Clay, they call them the Markers. That's the name of their sort of men's team that they practice.
And she's been, and I'm correct, right? She's been super complimentary of those guys and how much better they make the women.
Yeah, I think after the Sweet 16 win, she even brought them up that, you know, someone asked what's been the key to your success, and she said practicing against our Markers, the highlighters, the Markers, the men. Because no matter what we do, no matter what women's team we face, they're faster, they're quicker, they pass the ball faster. Like, yes, she has talked very openly that practicing against the men has made her team better, because no women's team she's ever going to face, or the South Carolina's ever going to face, is going to be as good as these guys who I heard you mention earlier in the show are not South Carolina's men's basketball team. These are just guys on campus who play basketball and, you know, probably scored 13 points a game in high school in South Carolina. Here's what I think. And as you said, you know, I preface this, of course, by saying I don't know what Dawn Staley's thinking. I don't know if she's lying. I think that the issue doesn't affect her, and I think she doesn't think it's going to. I think she sees this as, like some people have pointed out, like, oh, this is a fringe issue. It's not a big deal. There are a couple of transgender athletes. You know, obviously we're familiar with the Leah Thomas story, but it hasn't really taken college basketball yet. And my point of asking the question, with all these people coming at me and saying, this wasn't the time and place, how could you possibly do this, you know, the day before a national championship game? Are you kidding? This is exactly the time and place. This was the biggest weekend in women's, arguably in American women's sports history, based on how many people were watching, how the spotlight was on women's sports. What better time to talk about an issue facing women's sports than now? I honestly think, as you guys have mentioned, she is a left-wing media darling. They love everything about her, except the God stuff. They love that she talks about racism. They love, and I think she didn't want to go afoul of them on an issue that really right now doesn't affect her. But it will. Don't get it twisted. It's going to affect her. It just doesn't right now. So I think she felt kind of safe taking the route of, I'm going to stay on the good side here.
Dan Zakrzewski. Of OutKick. Dan, where can people go to, I guess, OutKick?
You can just say Dan Z, guys. I totally get it. Understand. But you're doing a great job.
I was leaning into it there. I thought I almost stuck the landing. I just kind of got a little unsure at the end. But OutKick.com for more of your work, I assume, yes?
Yes, OutKick.com. You can follow me on X at Real Dan Zach as well.
Real Dan Zach or Dan Zakrzewski. There we go. Dan, thank you so much, man. Great to have you. And congrats on the on the big moment over the weekend, you know, doing journalism. It's a crazy thing, doing journalism sometimes.
It's amazing the number of quote-unquote reporters who have attacked me for reporting. But thank you, guys.
No, you're not supposed to report as a reporter, as you know. It's all propaganda. But thank you for actually doing your job. Appreciate it. We'll take some of your calls, some of your VIP emails here to close us out. And, you know, Civil War is the name of a new movie coming to theaters this Friday. It's a compelling on the edge of your seat, epic thriller from visionary filmmaker Alex Garland. For those who binge watch The Last of Us, you're going to like the storyline. You're going to want to see this one in theaters, though. It is made for the big screen. The movie portrays a dystopian future America and a team of military-embedded journalists racing against time to reach Washington, D.C. before rebel factions descend upon the White House. It's getting great advance reviews from a variety of publications and movie reviewers, and the Rotten Tomato rating is 92% right now. Produced by A24, written and directed by Alex Garland. You can buy tickets in advance for this theater experience, including select IMAX theater screens. The cast includes Kirsten Dunst, Jesse Plemons, Wagner Moura, Nick Offerman, who I believe was Ron Swanson in the Parks and Rec. So you know Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec. That's Nick Offerman. Yeah, it's a great character. The movie is Civil War. Again, that's Civil War. Look it up. Make plans to see it in theaters this Friday.
Keep up with Clay and Buck's campaign coverage with 24, a Sunday highlight reel from the week. Find it on the free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. The
stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.